You never let it show, but you always did shine. The way you always cut loose, it never changed my mind. I'd always see you everywhere I turn.
Episode 228 of Taking the Charge podcast with you from Regensburg, Germany. I'm David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for stopping by for some hoops talk. Another day, another Wednesday, another day, another week, another podcast. Just keep on chugging along. I'm not gonna talk too much. I've been just doing a whole bunch of other things other than watching basketball, unfortunately, I guess. But obviously have an interview and trying to consider some other things and stuff like that. Hopefully some more on that in the future. If you want to get in contact with the show, let's do this right away. If you want to get in contact with the show, the easiest way is to catch me on Twitter. It's Hein News, HeinNews. There's the Facebook group. Just go into Facebook and go into the search bar and put in Taking the Charge podcast, and you will find the group there. The email address, the website is heinnews.com. The email address is heinnews@gmx.de. There, if you want to support the show, you can go to Patreon and pledge your support to the show. There are also kickbacks for higher monthly donations. Thank you to Norbert Opitz as one of the supporters of the show. And you can go to iTunes and rate and review the show. Okay. Like I said, not going to talk too much just because I haven't really been doing too much on the basketball front. I've been doing a lot of African soccer. The African Cup of Nations is actually keeping me from going to basketball games. Tonight is actually Real Madrid playing against Bamberg, and had a chance, obviously, to see Luka Doncic, but I have to do some African soccer tonight, and I'm going to miss that. So pretty disappointed about that, just because you don't have a chance to see a once-in-a-lifetime talent like that every day. So kind of bummed. But it is what it is. I did have a chance to go see a JBBL team game here in Germany. It's an under-16 league, and caught a couple of some pretty highly regarded 2001s who might be making the German team this summer for the under-16 European Championship, which is obviously qualifiers for the under-17 World Championship for next year. I wrote that up for heinnews.com, so you can go check that out. One of the kids that definitely wanted to see was Ariel Hoogtpoorti, Togo-German. And, there was, you know, as you can read in the write-up, there's stuff there that people like, and you can see some of it. He was sick, as I wrote in there that don't know if he was sick or something like that. But the Ludwigsburg ended up notifying me later on Twitter that that was in fact the case, that he was sick, which shines a little bit of a different light on that whole thing. But so you can go to heinnews.com, read that. Also, I want to let you know, I've been doing some stuff for Ridiculous Upside, but I guess they The SB Nation parent company site is not happy enough with the numbers, unfortunately. I was really enjoying doing those articles, and they just don't have the money to do that. So unfortunately, those articles I was writing on Ridiculous Upside will not be continuing. Again, kind of a shame, because I thought it was a pretty nice platform to put some stuff out there. You can go to Ridiculous Upside and find the stuff I wrote. But in the meantime, I'll just take those articles and put them on High News. And you can definitely expect to have more writing, more content coming on High News over the next few weeks, months. I'm definitely going to try to jack up the coverage, the basketball coverage from High News. That also may come down later with something of a change up with in the future. Again, that's sorry to leave you guys hanging, but just I don't know exactly what I want to do with things, and so that might be coming later. So what else is going on? The EuroLeague is, so this is round 19. Going on tonight is the last two nights. And, I don't know how other people are. And there's loads of basketball out there. But it's hard for me to keep track when games are going on. It seemed to me it was a lot easier when games were just Thursday, Friday, and occasional Wednesday game. But now for this week, for example, you had games yesterday and today, and then you have round 20 tomorrow, Thursday and Friday, and you just had games on Thursday and Friday last week. So, it's on one hand, it's good if you like the basketball. They're definitely jacking up the games, and obviously they got to get them all in because there's 30 rounds of games. But unless you really follow it, it's hard to just because so many other things going on, I don't have the time to follow it all the time. So sometimes it's hard for me to realize what's going on. Looking at the standings, you see that, there's a clear line of where the blue starts and ends, where it ends in the non-blue, meaning the top eight. Right now there's a two-game swing from Dasha Faka and Andula Efes for playoffs or not playoffs. Anadula and then Barcelona Bamberg are the next two teams below that. So you're starting to figure out who might be making it and who might not be making it. And then if you're talking, you're looking at say Galatasaray. Galatasaray. So if Dasha Faka win tonight Galatasaray would then be five games out. Maccabi, five games out. Milan, six games out. You can almost count these teams out. And so then you kind of get into the whole sort of idea of it's great to have, all these clubs play these great teams. But what happens if your team is out of the running for the quarterfinal playoffs with five, six rounds of games left? Do the fans go to those games? That's gonna be remain. We're gonna have to see. So that's the one hand. They're about two-thirds through, not quite, just one more week. So at the end of this week, they'll be two-thirds through, 20 rounds. If you're not keeping track, over in the Champions League, the Basketball Champions League, today is the final games of the group stage. If you haven't really caught up, if you haven't really been keeping up with that, they... You know, some of the let's quote them lower level teams will be bounced out of the tournament. So you know, might draw some more interest if you're if you want to catch up on that. They go into a what do they call them now? They call them the playoffs qualifiers. And then after that, there's the playoffs where the 16 teams play home and away. 16 teams, so that's quarterfinal playoffs. And then the winners of those will go to the Final Four at the end of April. So we're starting to get there. You know, these are these playoffs obviously be knockout games, home and away. So you would imagine that the games are going to get a little bit better, or at least more interesting. You know, higher level teams playing against higher level teams, and the Euro Cup, just to complete the trio of the top three competitions. They are at the halfway point of the round of 16, the top 16. And so if you want to keep up on that, that's where they're at that stage. So, one other thing I just wanted to, I don't know if people didn't catch it, you know, he was a kind of a highly regarded Australian. Noticed that William McDowell White, 98 born, ended up not making it to Fresno State. I guess just couldn't qualify himself academically, and has joined Sydney Kings. Saw that he put up a couple of decent numbers in the first couple of games. So that is I'm not saying he's necessarily going to get drafted, but there's a possibility that he could be in the draft and whatnot. People do like his playmaking ability. Athletically, he's not super high up there, but the people do think he has a pretty good understanding of the game, whatnot. But obviously now, you know, there's two reasons for people to watch the games out in Australia, the NBL, with both McDowell White and then Terrence Ferguson, who I believe is what are they guys? I know they have him as a first rounder. I don't want to say exactly where he is because I just don't remember. This might be an avenue for other people to maybe go there. With McDowell White, just was kind of a surprise that he didn't try to, if he knew things were going to be close there, whether or not he was going to be able to be academically eligible or not, kind of surprised that he didn't head down to back home and play at the under-18 Oceania Championship to see if he could get Australia qualified for the under-19 World Championship this summer. But he ended up not going, so, and Australia obviously failed to beat New Zealand in the final. So that's that. All right, let's go back to Euro Cup real quick for the interview then. I had an interview with him before on the show, but I did want to catch up with him. I ended up writing a piece on him for the Ridiculous Upside, so if you want to go to that, you can go check that out. I talked to Aaron White of Zenit Petersburg, and who is still in the running for the quarterfinals of the Euro Cup. Zenit is 2-2 in Group G. They have Hapoel Jerusalem, Litvos Rytas Vilnius, and Nizhny Novgorod in their group. So I had a chance to talk to him. So enjoy that. Talks about going back to summer league, and then also about what it's like playing for a great player as a head coach, and also maybe a future about trying to become one of the best players in Europe. So here's my chat with Aaron White. Enjoy, and we'll catch you on the other side. Let's start off with, how's that Russian winter? Everybody hears, you know, Russia, and they think of, you know, of it being cold. I mean, obviously that's, you know, to a certain degree true, but, you know, I mean, you're from that belt of USA where winds just probably are super cold as well. So how's it stack up?
Yeah. I mean, it's cold here, but it's really not too bad. Like you said, I'm being from the Midwest, it's cold back home. And, you know, going to school in Iowa, it's cold there too. So the only thing that has really, like, is way different is, like, how dark it gets here.
Yeah.
How early. So, like, the daylight is, and even, like, when I say daylight, it's more like just a gray. So, like, that's the only part getting used to. The cold isn't too bad for me.
So when does that happen then? When does it start getting dark there then now?
Well, today is different because the sun's finally out, but usually, like, it gets dark at, like, 3:30.
3:30, okay. Because you have about another 10 days of it getting even earlier, and then it's the bottom of the hump to go back to the top, right?
Exactly. So that's a little bit different, but we're really enjoying it. St. Petersburg is an awesome city, and you know, my wife and me have met some cool people, not only our teammates, but there's a lot of international people that live here too, so it's been good for both of us.
Tell us a little bit about that. You know, for someone who doesn't know much of Russia, doesn't know much of St. Petersburg, you know, what are some of the best things about the city?
I mean, the city is beautiful. The architecture is cool. It's got a good mix of, you know, pre-Soviet and also post. So the buildings are cool. And then something I was really surprised with is how great the food is and how good the restaurants are. I wasn't really expecting that coming to Russia. But the restaurants have been awesome, and all of them have, like, you know, areas for the kids and stuff. So it's been great for our family, and some of that I've been pleasantly surprised with.
Little girl, right?
Yeah.
But she's not any sort of daycare or anything, right?
We started putting her into they call it school here, but it's basically a daycare, and she only goes, like, just for a couple hours, a couple days a week.
She's only like two, right? If that even.
Yeah, she's like almost one and a half.
One and a half. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's more so just to make sure, like, you know, my wife can run errands and, you know, have a little bit of free time while, you know, my daughter's name is Micah. She gets to, you know, interact with other kids and be around different people. So it's good for both of them, I think.
How's your Russian?
What's that?
How's your Russian?
Terrible. It's so hard. I mean, being in Germany, like, I picked up on a little bit of stuff, like being able to understand people. But, like, here, it's like I have no idea what people are saying.
Yeah, you can't even read it either.
It's brutal
with the Cyrillic.
No, and that's even harder. Yeah, like it's not even the same letter, so it's like it's tough.
And travels a little further. You played Euro Cup last season with Bonn, but just the distances. I mean, you're going down to Spain twice, I guess. Yeah, you're going down to Spain twice. So talk a little bit, and Russia's obviously a huge have you made the trip to Vladivostok yet?
No, they're not in the league anymore.
Oh, they're not in the league anymore. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I think they took them out maybe 3 or 4 years ago because of how tough the travel was.
Yeah.
The worst team in Russia is actually Krasnoyarsk, which is, you know, took us like 5.5 hours from St. Pete's. So we had a tough week last week. We had a VTB game in Krasnoyarsk, which, like I said, we took a red eye and actually landed the day of the game.
Oh God!
Basically slept the day of the game and then, like, went for a little walk before the game, played. And then, the next morning we did, you know, like, obviously, like, the reverse red eye. So we'd land in the morning in St. Pete's. I had the day in St. Pete's, and then the next morning left for Murcia, which obviously isn't an easy trip whether you're in Europe or Russia. So it took us all day to get there. We got into Murcia at like 2 a.m.
Oh man.
And
plus the hours difference too.
And played the next day. So I mean, the travel has been, it's been brutal, man. Like, that's the hardest part about it. But you know, our coach is very understanding of that, and you know, gives us time to rest and make sure practices are, you know, just enough that we can, you know, get a feel for the game and a feel for going up and down, but not too much that he's killing us. So it's been good.
Yeah. And I mean, you're not going to experience that travel in the NBA. I mean, this is the worst travel you're going to have. Also, you know, just being in Russia going.
Nice to get out of the way. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess no matter where I go from here, I'll be prepared for the worst.
Last time we talked, you were sort of, I guess, about a third or halfway through the season in Bonn. Mm-hmm. And since then, you went through that pretty crazy season with all the coaching, the huge losing streak. And then went to the summer league. We'll kind of touch on a couple of those things later as well. But maybe just you know, where you think your game is at right now. I mean, you seem to be putting up some pretty decent numbers. You know, have a pretty good role with the team. Maybe talk about where you feel you're at as you know, as really being, you know, one of the leaders of this team. You know, a pretty decent Euro Cup team.
Yeah, obviously you touched on that, but last year was really tough for me. I've never been on a losing team, to be honest, like we went through last year. But I kind of learned a lot about what I wanted, like, out of my career, in terms of, not personally, but like, I just want to, you know, be involved with winning. And you know, that was a big thing that I talked to my agent with over the summer when preparing to come back overseas. I wanted to be on a team that, you know, could compete for, you know, in our instance, a Euro Cup title. And then, you know, one of our team goals is to, you know, to play Euro League next year. So that was a big thing for me. And like you touched on, this team is, you know, we got a lot of talent, a lot of scorers, a lot of shooters. So I've kind of found my role in more of, you know, being the energy guy, rebounding, running the floor, finishing on the basket. You know, so I've really enjoyed it. I think we got a nice team. I think the pieces are in place and should be a fun year. It's been a fun, you know, first fourth of the season. And I think we got a good team and a good chance to do some good things this year.
And how do you think you're doing? I just happen to have the actually, I guess I could call those up. I see shooting 37% in from threes in the Euro Cup, and VTB a little bit lower. How do you think you're doing? I just mentioned the threes because that's obviously an important part of your game as well. How do you think you're doing, performance level?
Yeah, it's been. I had a little period, you know, maybe three or four games or a couple of weeks ago where I wasn't playing well. I wasn't happy with the way I was playing. But since then, I've picked it up. You know, I think my rebounding numbers are good for the season so far. My offensive numbers are better in Euro Cup than they are in VTB. It's just one of those things where I've had a little bit more success in our Euro Cup games. But we got one of those teams where, you know, we got, you know, obviously Toulson's a big-time scorer. And Karasev, right now he's injured, but he's a big-time scorer as well. So, like, it kind of depends on the other imports game by game, kind of pick up the scoring, pick up the slack where need be. So it's been fun, though. I mean, our coach really lets us play. I like our system. Markovic is, you know, one of my favorite point guards I've played with since I've been playing basketball. He's really fun to play with. He sees the floor. He sees everything. He's a good leader for us. So it's been great so far. I'm really enjoying it. And it's you know, it's just a good situation.
Goals wise, you know, you guys have been performing pretty well in the Euro Cup, and you know, you're already qualified for the next round. You know, what kind of you know, let's say, you know, you said you definitely want to compete for the Euro Cup title. You know, play a role in the VTB, whatever. You know, what do you think the team's chances? What do you think the team needs to do to get those goals?
Yeah, I mean, I think the goals I stated are pretty attainable. It's not like anything crazy saying, you know, being able to win Euro Cup. I think, you know, we got our game against Malaga for the last game of the first round. If we win, we'll be in first, so we'll be in a good position for the next round. Obviously, there's a lot of good teams, but I think we're one of those good teams. And the same thing with VTB, obviously, anybody who plays in the finals, most likely against CSKA, goes to EuroLeague. So that's also an attainable goal. Last year, Zenit was only one game away, you know, from beating Kazan. They lost in game five of the playoffs. So, I mean, those are both, I think, not crazy goals. They're attainable and something that we can do. And, like, in order to get to that, I think, you know, defensively we need to really be more consistent. I mean, like I said, we have a lot of very good offensive players, mm-hmm. Very talented offensive players, and it's more about consistently playing defense and getting multiple stops in a row and helping that. I think when we get stops, we're a much different team because we're able to run, you know, especially me personally, I love to run the floor and play up and down. So I think we're a lot better doing that when we get stops.
You know, we've talked about, you know, there's been interviews out there as well about you, you know, just going through three coaches last season. Obviously a totally different atmosphere there with Vasily Karasev, who, you know, won a EuroLeague, you know, a couple of, you know, world championship, you know, second places, you know, was basically one of the top point guards, in Europe in the 90s, you know, with all that experience that he's had, maybe what it's like to learn from a guy like that. What kind of things are you learning from that? Obviously a point guard is a little, you know, it's a different situation, than you, but just in general, having a guy like that to take knowledge from.
Yeah, it's been awesome. You know, when I signed here, I knew of, you know, from the outside perspective of his successes and the success he's had with Zenit in the short couple of years that they've been a club. But, you know, being around him and being around, you know, Landry, who's been playing for Karasev for, I think this is his sixth year. He's told me a lot about, you know, like what you mentioned, his success as a player. I didn't know how successful he was as a player until I signed here or until I was here. So. It's been great. I mean, he's like really, really, I mean, people say it all the time, but he really is a player's coach. He understands, you know, the travel, he understands practices, the games, like, you know, all that, how it takes a toll on your body and you need to be ready for the games and such. So, and to be honest, you don't get a lot of that in Europe. You know, a lot of times, you know, practices are really tough in Europe, as I'm sure players have told you, and that's just a known thing. So it's been really nice, you know, and you can always talk to him if you're having troubles. You know, like I said, I had a bad stretch there. And, you know, just talking to him, just talking to being able to see what he wants from me, what I think I can provide for the team, has been a good dialogue between us. And he's been fun to play for. You know, I'm still a young player, so he's been, you know, he's been hard on me, but at the same time, giving me confidence and, you know, they need me and stuff like that. So it's been a good balance, and I'm appreciative of, you know, having a coach like that early on in my career.
Let's move over to the summer league, the 2015 summer league. You know, you've said a couple times, you know, just you didn't have the confidence, and that basically, for the summer, you said, you know, I just wanted to show that I can play. You know, I think it was 7 points, something like that, 29% threes, so didn't shoot that well from the 3-point range. You know, I saw an interview where you're saying that the summer league is always kind of a weird setting, where you're, you know, and that you're just trying to play your game, and sometimes other people, you know, you're not sure exactly, you know, where people are going to be, whatnot.
Yeah.
And that some people took that whole situation as being tentative and thinking too much.
Yeah.
Looking back on the summer league, how would you assess your performance?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, basically the same. You know, I think summer league is an interesting situation where you get a group of guys together that have never played together, and you kind of just roll the ball out. You know, you have a couple of days of training camp, and, you know, put in a couple sets, say what you want on defense, and then you go and play, you know, 4, 5, 6 games. So it is a little bit interesting. I mean, obviously it's the same situation for everybody, so I'm not trying to say that as an excuse or anything. I just think, you know, it's certain players succeed in that setting and certain players don't. So overall, you know, I'm happy I did it. It's something that, you know, Washington wanted me to do for the second year after drafting me, but it'll probably be my last year doing it. You know, I don't think I'll do it again this summer. It's just something that I don't think is really beneficial for me. You know, if an NBA team, well, right now the Wizards, if they think I'm good enough to be on the roster, then, you know, that'll happen. If not, then I don't think I can prove my worth in five or six games of summer league. I just don't think that's in the cards for me as a player. I just think I'm more of a, you know, more of a system player, more of a play as a team and make the right reads and make the right cuts, stuff like that. So, you know, overall, it's an interesting experience. I think a lot of players have said the same thing. I think it's more beneficial for, you know, guards that have the ball and can score and put up numbers, and big guys who can, you know, demand double teams on the block or get high rebounding numbers, stuff like that. So, I mean, it's a good experience. I think it's a cool event and all that. And, you know, I have nothing but I'm glad I was able to do it, but I just don't think I'll do it again, to be honest.
You decided pretty early in the summer that you were going to come back to Europe and sign the deal with St. Petersburg and not try to give it a go at camp, which mm-hmm. probably would have run till end of September, which would maybe even take you out of some of the, you know, you were saying you wanted to play on a team with some winning aspirations.
Right.
Was that, you know, the desire to be on a winning team this year, was that paramount then to the, you know, let's say wanting to give it a go at the training camp, you know, knowing that there were still though a couple of open spots that Washington had?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean there was definitely chances for me. I haven't kept up. I don't know what they've done, but I know they signed, I think, three rookies from this class.
Yeah, well, three guys.
Washington.
Undrafted, yeah.
Yeah, undrafted, House, McClellan, and Ocheo. So I know, yeah, like, there was some opportunities for me. I really didn't want to take, in my opinion, the risk of, like you said, going to camp, going all the way through September, and then missing out on, you know, what could be a good deal, both money-wise and situation-wise in Europe. So, and I had known already, even though last year was crazy in the aspect of coaches and the losing, I really do enjoy playing over here. You know, like, I love the game, like the style of game and the atmosphere and stuff like that. And it was a no-brainer for me. And, you know, I just told my agent that, you know, start taking offers and let me know, and then we went from there.
How is the relationship with the new coach, with Scott Brooks, then? That, you know, how much, you know, time were you able to spend with him? How much dialogue did you have with him?
Yeah, a lot. You know, I went, I was in D.C. basically the whole summer, working out for, 5 weeks before summer league with the staff. Brooks was there, worked out with him a couple of times, was always in and out of the locker room. So always, you know, saw them and talked to them in between workouts. I was doing, you know, like one or two workouts a day, you know, basically the whole summer with them. So that was another thing with the summer league. It was tough from my end, you know, basically having all that time where I showed, you know, what I could do. And obviously it's not like a game, but in workouts and being around the coaches and stuff like that. And then to have, you know, something be determined by a couple of games was tough for me. So, but like, I think Coach Brooks is a great coach. I had a lot of respect for him because when he came in the first day, you know, he was moving in between California and DC. So he came in the first day that I was there and worked me out. So I had a lot of respect for that. You know, he didn't even know me. We had never met before, and he came in and worked me out. So that was really cool, and I think he'll have a lot of success there.
And Washington was pretty okay with your decision to come back to Europe then? And what kind of you know, what kind of things did they say then to you, you know, to, let's say, send you off on your way then?
Yeah, they were cool with it. I'm real close with their assistant GM, Tommy Shepard, and we still keep in touch. And, you know, he still messages me, and, you know, I think they'll probably come out here at some point maybe to see me. And there's always an open dialogue there. So, you know, you never know what happened in the future, but there's no, like, we still have a good relationship in that aspect. We still keep in touch, and I still keep in touch with some of the player personnel guys and the player development guys. They got a great staff, and I've really enjoyed getting my time to know those guys, and they've welcomed me, and like, I'm part of the family, even though, you know, I'm over here. And so it's been cool.
And your first, I guess, option, I mean, your first you know, idea, whatever NBA then is still with Washington then? Is that still the case?
Yeah, I mean, they have my rights, so that's how it works, yeah.
Then I guess maybe talk about, you know, what your plans are then. Maybe not plans are, but what, you know, hopes, aspirations, you know, do you want to try to get back into it next year? I mean, obviously kind of depends on, you know, staying healthy, everything like that, of course, but what are you thinking for next summer then?
Well, I signed here, you know, 1+1. I think they'll tell me in May. I think that's the deadline, whether they'll bring me back next year.
Zenit, you mean?
What's that?
Peter. Yeah, Petersburg would tell you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So in May, I think I have an NBA out in June. So if the Wizards want to make a move, it has to be, I think, in June. So, I mean, right now, like, my goal is to be, you know, one of the top players in Europe, you know. Like I told you, I love playing over here. My wife has loved so far the two cities that we've been in. She likes living over here. You know, and like I said earlier, I think I'm done with the summer league. You know, I'd love to play in the NBA. I'd love to play for the Wizards, but if that doesn't happen, I'll be very happy playing for a long time in Europe, playing at a high level. So, yeah, right now my goal is to become one of the top players in Europe, and if the NBA happens, then I would love to go there. If not, then I'll also be extremely happy playing here for the next 10 plus years and enjoying being able to play and continue to grow as a player and play at the highest level over here.
As far as your game goes, where do you think you're at? What's the next things that you're working on? I mean, you still have, you have a pretty refined game already, you know, and so what are you basically working on now?
Yeah. You know, being more consistent on defense. I had a little bit of trouble last year adapting to playing back to the basket four men. Just something I wasn't used to in college. You know, in college you don't really have a lot of guys that play back to the basket as the four position. So that took me a little getting used to. I feel a little bit more comfortable this year. Offensively, maybe adding that to my game. You know, that's something I've never done. I've been more of a, face the basket, use my athleticism, play more on the perimeter type of player. So, you know, that's something that you can always add to your game, especially as you get older and a little bit more, you know, wiser and understand the game a little bit more. And other than that, you know, making sure my shooting is consistent. Like you said, I'm shooting better in Euro Cup than I am in VTB, but I think if you add all of it, it's around, you know, 33-35%, something like that, which is, you know, okay. I'd like it to be better. But overall, just continue to grow and be more consistent as a player, be more aggressive, especially this year, be a little bit more aggressive, looking for my opportunities than, you know, last year I had more of a green light and more of a need to score on my team. You know, like, I was one of the top scorers this year. It's a little bit different, so it's a little bit different role for me, so I'm just trying to learn that, and that'll come as the season goes on and as we play more games. So, you know, just overall, just continue to get better in all aspects.
All right, I'll let you go with that. Fantastic. All right. I had a chance to see him when Bayern were playing, when we came over and played Bayern. Like he says, there's a lot of scores on that club, and so he doesn't really need to do all of the scoring, but he's been able to find his role that he's needed, and is doing a pretty good job with it, and look forward to seeing if he ends up going back. I remember seeing him, can't remember if this was in the interview the last time, but I remember seeing him at the NCAA tournament when I was there in Seattle, and just totally thinking he's a guy who would definitely excel in Europe, and that's exactly what he's doing. You know, he's a system guy. You know, he's a guy that, like the Spurs, you know, like other teams like that really run systems and where he could really fit in well. But if not, you know, like he says, you know, we can, you know, gladly enjoy him and his versatile game out here in Europe. So All right, so that's the show this week. Want to just let you know then what you're going to be listening to. The song is called Pretty Penny, and it is by Jock LeCocq. It's available on freemusicarchive.org. Go there, check out the music. Have one more week, I believe. Let's see here. One more week of action, and then next week, the next two shows, is that right? Next two shows, I will still be here in Regensburg, and then between the second and third show, I will have been in Spain. Hopefully warmer. It is warmer there right now than it is here. For the third leg of the Adidas Next Generation tournament. So definitely until next week, enjoy the hoops and just be good.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Shine. The way you always cut loose, it never changed my mind. I'd always see you everywhere I turn. I thought that I could make you mine. You never made no sense. You never wanted no changing. I'm sorry. Pretty penny, pretty penny. I could have stuck it out, given all I got. And now all that I have is you for a thought. Nickel and dimes, time after time.
I play for Telecom Baskets Mon, and you're listening to Taking the Charge.